Good morning. Good morning, Gracetown. How are you? Delighted to see each and every one of you here this morning. Is this a healthy-looking choir or what this morning? And tonight they will present wonderful Christmas music, and I hope that's on your calendar for 6:30 this evening. A few years ago, Ann and I were in London, England, a little getaway, and we were at Harrods department store, and we were inquiring about some issues related to customer service, and as I approached the desk, I could see that there were about 8 or 10 people in line, and I just had a question about procedure, not a question exactly that needed an exact dealing with a customer service person, so much like Americans are prone to do. I just stepped up to the head of the line and began to ask my question. And the man sitting behind the desk, in no uncertain terms, said, "Queue up." Looked around to see if he was talking to me, and it seemed as if he was talking to me. And then people in line began to motion to me, saying, "Get in line if you have a question. There is nothing that makes your answer more important than the answers we are seeking, so you need to queue up and get in line and wait." Nothing is harder than waiting for something that we want, something that we want to know, something that we need, or maybe even to a deeper level, something that relates to the deeper yearnings of our hearts, a relationship, a hope for healing and health, a sense about the future and trusting that future. It's difficult to wait for answers, and it's just simply not in our nature to wait. This morning is the second Sunday of Advent. And Advent, in case you haven't noticed, is a period of preparation and waiting. This is the beginning of the Christian New Year. January 1 is not the new year for Christians. January 1 is the new year for a calendar that was created. Our year begins with Advent. It's the season of preparation, and part of the preparation is waiting, and waiting with expectancy. This morning, I welcome you to this worship experience. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're delighted that you are here. There's a guest register that gets passed down the aisle, and we want every person to sign that, especially our visitors. Immediately after the worship, I'm inviting anyone who is visiting to meet me in the room, the gathering room, right across the hall, where there are refreshments and an opportunity to meet you. But we are so glad that you are here. And as we begin this Sunday of Advent, might we stand and greet one another and welcome one another to this Advent worship.
most days we set specific times for when we go to school, have a piano lesson, tee up for a round of golf, or meet a friend for lunch. But sometimes there's not a specific time set, and we're left waiting, wondering when the package will be delivered, when the plumber will show up at the house, or when the doctor will arrive. We wonder if we've been forgotten.
By the time Jesus was born, the Jewish people had been waiting for hundreds of years for the promised Messiah. It had been more than 400 years since they had even heard God speak to them through one of his prophets about the Savior God would send. It seemed like God had stopped talking to them, and some people had grown weary of keeping up their hopes that God's promises would be realized. While they were waiting, the Romans occupied their country and ruled over them. This made them long even more for the great deliverer God had promised. And in the midst of all of this, in the midst of silence, the oppression, and the hopelessness, a baby was born.
Our scriptures this morning remind us that our waiting is not in vain. This candle calls us to wait with confidence and a sure hope that Emmanuel, God with us, is close at hand. Let us pray. Merciful and loving God, you are our hope, our strength, and our source of courage. Be with us as we wait. Guide us as we prepare our hearts for the arrival of your Son and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. actually things we can be doing when we're waiting for things to happen. You could watch TV or play outside. You could read a book. You could make a list of things you need to do today. You could clean your room. Maybe not. No, not so much. So what makes it hard to wait for Christmas? What are we waiting on for with Christmas?
For presents.
For presents? That's right, for Jesus' birthday. We might be waiting for family and friends to come and visit for Christmas.
Yeah.
There are so many exciting things about Christmas, and it can be really hard to wait sometimes. But just like Dr. Seuss says, there's a waiting place. Our waiting place for Christmas can be in our hearts. And we have time to get ready for Christmas. We have time to hear the lovely music that we hear in church. We have time to rejoice and worship God. We have time to make sure that we think about giving as much as we think about receiving gifts. We have time to be with people that we love. Christmas is a special time, and all these weeks of waiting until Christmas Day, we can't waste this time or be bored. We've got to be sure that what we're doing is getting our hearts ready for when Jesus comes. So let's try to remember that, because it's going to be busy over the next few weeks, and sometimes we forget what we're getting ready for, Jesus' birthday. They do. They get ready right after Thanksgiving. You are right. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, in this time of waiting and anticipation of the joy of Christmas, help us to remember that it's a time for us to prepare, to think about your love, and to think about how we show your love to others. In your precious name, amen.
Scripture reading from the Old Testament this morning comes from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, reading verses 1 through 11. In your pew Bible, that is found on page 511. The circumstances of waiting for deliverance have varying degrees of impact. It's one thing to say that you are waiting on the next graduation or the next job. It's another thing to say that you are waiting for your people to be delivered when they are living under oppression and when you are watching members of your family be dissected, when you are waiting for the cruel and evil empire to come to its senses. Such is the condition under which these words were penned. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, "Cry out," and I say, "What shall I cry?" All men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, and the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, "Here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arms rules for him. See, his reward is with them, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Lord, we gather together as your people in this place, and we too long for a different day. Some of us are just worn out from waiting. We have waited for things to change. In our personal lives, we have waited for our work life to change. We have waited for our children to change. We have waited for a better day in regard to our own psychological and physical health. We are tired of waiting. And we join those this morning around the world who are also tired of waiting. They are tired of waiting for those to come who will help them, who will keep those who oppress them away from harm, who will enable them to once again breathe the air of freedom. Lord, this morning we know that there are those who wait, yet they wait in pain and agony, and we don't often identify with them. And we sometimes find that a distant grief is what is most comfortable in relationship to them. And so, Lord, give us a sense this morning to cry out in the midst of all of the wildernesses as we lift up our longings and our heart's desire to see peace on earth, to witness the laying down of arms, to see those who would do harm turn and move in a different direction. This morning, Lord, we pray that you would stir us or even disturb us out of our complacency so that once again we could lift up our hands, that our hearts would beat like a drum until justice rolls down like a river in all the crevices and corners of our world. And yes, this morning, Lord, even into our own personal worlds. We pray this morning that you would fulfill our heart's desires, our personal wishes, wants, loves. We pray that we might join hands as a community of faith and lift up our voice together and wait with expectancy for the good news that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we offer this prayer. Amen.
Who is a sovereign? Please pray with me. Father, we are so blessed to be here together in your house during this Advent season. Please ring in us the joy of this season and be with us as we wait. Wait for the wonder of your son's birth. Wait for your guidance for our future. Wait for the new year and all it holds for this church. We pray you will bless these tithes and offerings freely given as we look forward to what you have in store for us. In Christ's name we ask, amen.
Waiting. invite you to remain standing for the reading of the Gospel, which comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God.
So every year we ask our family, meaning our son and his wife and the three grandkids, what can we get you for Christmas? Because we have learned this: we do not understand what is best to get them for Christmas. We tried, but it didn't work as well as it does when we say to them, tell us what you want for Christmas. And they send a pretty detailed list of what they want for Christmas. And so we began to secure the things that they want. Some of them come off of Amazon, and others of them come from exotic manufacturers in other parts of the world. They live in New York City, after all, and so they're exposed to lots of different things. And so we pursue the list, and we do it with great fervor and with a deep commitment not to mess it up, so to speak. They are very kind. It's not an expensive list. It's very humble. But we just want to get it right. But this year there's a problem. One of our grandsons is a fan of a cartoon, and some of you may know about this, but we've been in the dark for so long, we did not until he started watching this cartoon. But it's about the Pat-Pat characters. It's a little Einstein creation. And so for Christmas, what he would like to have is a little Einstein Pat-Pat space rocket. Now this morning, you will have to indulge me because I will reveal that to some degree, the opening illustration of the sermon is very self-serving. Because I'm just hoping that maybe someone has a Pat-Pat space rocket tucked back in your closet that you have not used, and that Leo and Wanda and June and Quincy are all in their place on the rocket, and that you also have the green screen in place, which as far as I can tell does absolutely nothing, but it raises or lowers the price considerably depending on whether the green screen is included. What is unfortunate about this particular toy is that it's out of production. And so therefore it's on the collector list of toys, which means that the price is not commensurate with the item whatsoever. So I have been bidding on eBay, hoping to get a Pat-Pat rocket. I have failed three times now, and so I have to confess my anxiety is sky high about this if I want to complete the punch list. But hear this, if I just want to go buy a Pat-Pat rocket, from a toy dealer in the package that has not been opened. The going price is, get this, $1,000. Look in your closets. Look under your bed. Look for Leo and Wanda in June. Because they're hard to find. I tell you this morning because while I am much aware that the season of Advent is very different than what we have come to know as Christmas, right? That those of us in the Christian community have set out on a different path, so to speak, and that's why we observe Advent. I didn't observe Advent for most of my Christian life. It came late for me. And some of my friends still question, why do you celebrate Advent? It's a creation of humankind. It was devised not directly out of Scripture, but was devised by the church at some point to begin the process of understanding this whole walk with Christ and what that means. So you can do that on any Sunday, any time of the year. You don't have to do Advent. But I will confess this morning that I need Advent. I need Advent because I need to be reminded that something is happening. And it's not just happening once a year, I grant you that, but it's happening nonetheless on a daily basis. But if I'm not reminded of this, especially at this particular season, I will allow myself to drift. Or worse yet, not just to drift, but literally to be out of touch with what it means to celebrate the coming of Christ into the world. And so the Advent season is the season of getting ready, as the song says. It's an opportunity for us to refocus. And it is a time, as the gospel lesson teaches us this morning, that if we're going to prepare the highway, if in fact the ground is going to be leveled out, if indeed we can preach the good news to the captives, and if we can preach to those who find themselves in harm's way and bound up, if any of this is true, then it demands preparation, and that preparation, as we hear it defined this morning in the gospel, is the preparation of repentance. It's an opportunity for us to look within and to see if there's anything that needs to be cast aside or something that needs to be added that enables us to more clearly understand what it means to say, as the early Christians said, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. And come quickly to us." I don't know about you, but I've never gotten a John the Baptist Christmas card. No one has ever sent a card with John's picture on the front with the wild locusts and the honey and the sackcloth and the whole desert scene, etc. It just doesn't really seem to fit that well with Christmas. It's more likely that we want to see a manger scene, or that we want to see angels, or we want to see the wise men, but we don't really talk much about John the Baptist at Christmas, yet John is a very important player in the Christmas story. And what John leads us to understand is that there needs to be some work done, some soil that gets tilled, so that in fact we are ready to receive the gift of God's presence when God chooses to send that presence. And so this morning I stand with you more than likely in that if I worry too much about a pat-pat rocket or whether or not the lights are strung correctly on the outside Christmas tree, or whether or not the house is inviting as we want it to be when the family arrives, then once again I fall victim to the trappings of the season, and I miss the opportunity to see and to experience God in new and refreshing ways. How do we do that? Interestingly enough, we are encouraged to simply wait. The people of God have always been waiting. There is no magic in this in terms of understanding, because we all want it when we want it, and we want it right now. We want to move to the head of the line. We want to be served first. I get so irritated with people that merge in at the last minute on the interstate. I can't tell you how much my Christianity is challenged by this. The lane is closing. You know that 3 miles back, but some folks just choose to keep on coming. And then when we get down to the one lane, we're supposed to let all of those people in. And we're supposed to do it with a smile on our face and a look of Jesus in our countenance. But it's really hard to do, isn't it? So I mentioned this once in a sermon a couple of churches back, and this woman handed me a book. I think it's called Traffic, and it's about how the people that merge in are actually helping and not harming. And I just don't buy it. And if you've read the book... So how is it that we prepare our hearts for Jesus? And we are encouraged to wait. We know that those who wait upon the Lord, as Isaiah says later in this chapter, that God will renew their strength, that they shall mount up with wings like eagles, that they shall run and not be weary, that they shall walk and they shall not faint. And the encouragement here, the pronouncement is for us to wait on the Lord, not to rush ahead, I assume, or not to create our own particular pathway. And just hearing those words suggests to many of us a kind of complacency. It goes against the grain of our Western culture. We are more of fire-ready aim people than we are ready-aim fire people, and waiting just doesn't fit the vocabulary often. And more assuredly, it's typically not rewarded out there in the world, as we say, because we want people of action. We want people who move. We don't necessarily need people who want to hit the pause button. And I understand that. Except when it comes to understanding who God is in the world and who God is in our own personal lives. And in regard to this, that demands that there be a kind of waiting. We do know that good things happen in the midst of a wait. Did you know the whole story of Forrest Gump was created while someone waited on a park bench in Georgia? We understand and know that in the midst of our waiting, that waiting can drive us to a deeper understanding of ourselves and a deeper understanding of God, and waiting enables us to not step in places where we should not step when we are in a hurry or when we have let our anxiety rise to such a level that it overtakes the better part of our good sense. But let me just pause for a minute and say that this expectant waiting that we understand is a part of our holy preparation for Advent is the kind of waiting that moves us into a deeper understanding of who God is and who we are, and that literally takes space and time to develop. And so the banner just flies over our heads and it says, don't miss this again. Don't miss this again. But our impatience gets us in trouble. When I was about 4 years old, I discovered that seeds grow into plants. That if you're so inclined, you can plant a seed, and that seed then sprouts and then it grows. So I loved peaches as a young boy, and peaches grew in my grandparents' front yard. And so I took a peach seed and I planted it out in the side yard, and I waited. I remember peering out my window with my elbows on the frame, looking to see if that seed had yet sprouted. And about I don't know, probably 3 or 4 days into the process, I was outside with a spade and I was digging up the seed to see if anything had happened yet. And then I buried it again, and then about 3 or 4 days later, I dug it up again. And I remember my mom, who was the wise, patient person in our family, she said, "Randy, if you keep digging that seed up, nothing's ever going to happen. It just needs time to germinate. It needs time to absorb the nutrients. It needs time to sprout a green leaf." And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. We need to understand that waiting is not a passive event, but that waiting really is an active event. In fact, waiting can be an act of resistance. Waiting does not mean that we are lazy. It doesn't mean that we are going to sleep, as G. Campbell Morgan was fond of saying. It means that we are waiting patiently to understand truly the direction of God, and that we will listen to that direction and that we will not do anything. In fact, he said that we will have the ability to do nothing until the commands are given that we should move or that we should act. It is here in this kind of germination place where we begin to create the space spiritually that allows for God to finally reach us where it really counts. And so we have to have a different understanding of this in-between time and this notion of what it means to wait, and to see that these are the times that are pregnant with meaning and expectancy for what is to come next. Our waiting is not lost. And this morning, you and I join with millions of other people around the world waiting for bigger things to take place in our world. I know we do. Many, many years ago, on a 42 degree below zero night, a group of 18,000 Marines would be facing 100,000 North Koreans, and so their odds for survival were very slim indeed. A reporter was there to get the story, so to speak, and at midnight, supper was served to these men. It was cold beans, and they ate them with the trowels that they used to dig trenches. And so this reporter sat down and began to talk to those men, exclusively at this point, who were waiting to go into battle. And one of the questions that was asked of one of the Marines were this: "If I was God," the reporter said, "and I could give you one thing that you'd rather have more than anything else in the world, what would it be?" And do you know what the Marine said? He thought for a moment, and then he said, "I would ask you to give me tomorrow. That's what I want more than anything else. I want to be given tomorrow." In a sense, that's what our waiting is about. We want to be given tomorrow. We want that next job to come, or we want that next relationship to form, or we wait for that diagnosis and we hope that it is good. We want there to be peace in the land. We want to wake up in a day when we do not hear the sabers rattling and one more missile is launched by a crazed dictator. We want to wake up and hear that children have not been slaughtered in schoolhouses, and we want there to be a better story and more hope. We want, quite honestly, for our church to be healthy, and we want the new leader to get here as soon as possible. We want our tomorrows to be healthy and bright, and we want those tomorrows to fulfill our sense of what we have been expecting, although we know that we are not always allowed the things that we do want. But yes, we do want, and we want a better tomorrow. And we want a tomorrow that makes more sense with how we know we have been put together as human beings. We want the world to be whole. And if we are not longing for that, that may be the place that we need to begin this morning in terms of our own spiritual quest, that we are able to get out of our own little bubble for long enough to have a heartbeat for the things that also matter to God, that reach beyond. That reach beyond our little worlds. And in the midst of this, excuse me, in the midst of this, we have been promised that God will come. We have been promised that one day the land will be made right. We have been promised that the instruments of war will one day be beaten shares. We have been promised that in the day of fulfillment, in the day of God's reign, that all things will be made right and good. And so our waiting today and tomorrow and this week, our Christmas preparation maybe should be that we will repent from cluttering our lives with the things that interrupt our ability to join hands with God and to join hands with others who are attempting to bring in the reign of God each and every moment of every day. So I like so many things that Greystone is doing. I love the fact that people are willing to be a buddy to those who need to know that they are cared about. I love the fact that people are willing to go and to help and to rebuild and to restructure. I like the fact that you are sensitive to the needs that are in Raleigh among those who are displaced, and even to those refugees who now have a home in which to live that you helped to provide, and the list could go on and on. But we know that our work is not yet complete and it needs to reach in a broader fashion, and that is true for each and every Christian community in the world. And so we wait, but we don't wait idly. We wait by joining hands with God and fulfilling the things that we know God wants to fulfill. And we have much yet to accomplish in this fashion. And in the midst of this, we want to wait and to fulfill God's wishes on God's timing. And to know that it doesn't all rest with us. A few years ago in a Tampa Kmart, a mother was frantically looking for her young son who had been separated from her during the Christmas rush. And so she was searching the entire Super Kmart store, all the nooks and crannies, talking to people. She would hear one person say, "I think I saw your little boy. Is he the one with the red hat and the white ball on the top?" "Yes, absolutely, that's him. His name is Jeremy." Then she would run to another section and look for Jeremy there, not able to find Jeremy. Go to another section, seemingly he had just left that part of the store, and she was fearful that someone would take him and leave the store. And so in a moment of desperation, she went to the store manager, who was still up in one of those kind of high and lifted up container-like offices where he could survey the kingdom. And so he calmed her down, and he said, "Let's try a different approach." He gave her the microphone, and he said, "I want you to say this to your son, Jeremy, sit down. Wherever you are, sit down, and let us find you." And lo and behold, he sat down, and he was discovered. And he was saved. To some degree, in the Advent season, God says to us, just sit down and wait and be open to the movement of the Spirit, and I will come to you and I will find you. May we pray. Lord Jesus, quickly come. Come into our hearts and reside. Come into Greystone Church and reside. May you be the Lord of this congregation, and may all things be lifted up to you. come into our world, and Lord, where we can, let us go about the business of seeing your reign be made true here and now on this day. And may that reign begin in each of our hearts this morning. In Christ's name. Just a moment, we're going to stand and sing a hymn of commitment, a hymn of discipleship, a hymn of invitation. The door is always open in God's family. This morning, if you are looking for a church home, the door is open to you. If you are at the place where you have never made your faith public, then this is the opportunity for you to do that as well. It's also a place for each of us to ask, Where do I need to make space for Jesus to come yet again? Would you do that as we stand and sing together? We've already mentioned this morning that that the choir will be presenting the Christmas music tonight. I hope to see each one of you here for that. I also want to remind those of you who are guests this morning that I'll be leaving the sanctuary, going right across the hall, and there'll be others there who can greet you, and we would like to know you. And if you have any questions about Greystone, we would love to answer those questions this morning. After the benediction, for those of you who are Greystone members and for friends that may want to stay, there's a brief business meeting, and in that meeting, the slate of pastor search candidates will be presented, and so you will be voting on those candidates, and so you can make those preparations this morning before we leave as well. So glad that you are here. Looking forward to the rest of this Advent season with you.
Jesus.
God who created you, goes beneath you as a firm foundation upon which to build your life. That the God that we know in Jesus Christ walks beside you as one who understands you and who loves you exactly as you are. And that the God that we know in the form of the Holy Spirit promises to blow with fresh winds through the corridors of our lives and gives to us deep and lasting peace.